You're listening to the Faith Unpacked podcast. Welcome back to the Faith Unpacked podcast with Jason and Jamie. This is episode 334, and we're continuing on the series we started a few weeks back on difficult challenges or tough challenges in marriage and how to handle those, how to respond to those in a God glorifying way. So if you missed part one and part two, definitely go back and check out episodes 333 and 332 to get all caught up to speed on the conversation. Jason, we left off last time with the subject of in-laws, how to handle in-laws and the balance or the conflict that sometimes arises in the dealing with the reality of being both part of two families and at the same time also your own, and navigating that minefield can be a challenge at times. Of course, you hear all the jokes, you know, the classic mother-in-law jokes that go around, and there's some degree to which there's a basis of truth, right, behind those things, which is very often conflict can arise in the context of marriage between a husband and wife over that. You know, how to spend the holidays or who to do various things with or whose ways of doing things should be carried over into marriage. So how do you begin to engage that particular topic?
Yeah, it's a huge question and very common because a lot of times what I've found is that every newlywed has their kind of list of unspoken assumptions about how the marriage relationship is going to work. And a lot of times they will, because of those assumptions, feel hurt or unheard or overlooked or disregarded, whatever it might be, because there hasn't been some upfront communication about how those specific relationships with in-laws are going to work. And this is a key one. You know, the Bible begins in chapter 2 with that description of marriage. God puts Adam to sleep. From Adam's rib makes woman, Eve, brings him and brings her to him, and then they're married. And in that statement, that's very, we could say, paradigmatic for every marriage relationship. Obviously, it wouldn't have applied to Adam and Eve since they didn't have in-laws, but that's why it's said as a statement that's meant to be for all marriages in the future. Where Genesis says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And I think that the significance of, you know, some people wonder, why say a man shall leave his father and mother, and it doesn't say anything about a woman leaving her father and mother. I think part of it is like a cultural understanding, but also there's this understanding of the design. When God designs households, he has a head of the household. And again, you know, we've talked about this, that God calls the husband to be that head of the household. Ultimately, husband and wife work as a team. They need to have a that shared understanding of, you know, what they believe the covenant is about and have that foundation in Christ. And Jesus is the Lord of the household. He is the one over all of it, but God calls men to step up and lead. And so that's why the statement, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, I believe that's a statement about this is a new family being formed where you're no longer, your primary family, I'll put it that way, your primary family is no longer your mom and dad, and that household, but you're now forming a new household, and so therefore you have to leave in order to cleave, in order to hold fast to your wife, and now you've got this new household that you're to lead. And so that's a good word for men, that they're to kind of spearhead that and be the ones that lead in that way. However, I will also say that when it comes down to it, you know, if you ask, does the husband tend to be closer to his parents in the marriage, or does the wife tend to be closer to her parents? And I would say far and away, the wife tends to have a closer relationship with her parents almost by default. I think there's a few reasons for that. There is this sort of unspoken thing where if the wife is wanting to discuss things and if she has had a good relationship with her mom, which is a good and positive thing, we hope that would happen. If she has had an issue with her husband, and this is, again, very common for newlyweds, she will often go to her mom and talk about how her husband is not doing what she would hope or is not seeing things the way she would like. And then what happens is the mom will often, basically agree with her because they have that approach where, you know, this is how we did things in our marriage and this is what you're used to. And so she's already seeing things from that angle. And I think there are some places in scripture where we see that can be actually pretty problematic when a wife's first instinct is, instead of going to even like another trusted godly woman, but instead going to her mom to talk about what her husband is not doing well, I think that actually creates a lot of issues, even though there can be a healthy way to go about that. But sometimes it can be really it can be problematic, because then the husband is painted often as, whether they are intending it or not, but he's kind of painted as the bad guy, because the mom and the daughter already agree on what should be done, and he's kind of like not on that page apparently. And that's why there's the bit of conflict, and she's talked to her mom in the first place. And frankly, that's more likely to happen than the husband going to the dad to complain or vent or say, hey, you know, my new wife is not doing things the way I expected. That is just less common. That's what I've seen both anecdotally, and I think that's part of our wiring. Like, men tend to be more of the mindset that, you know, we'll figure this one out, and we don't always go to find out from our parents how things are to be done in the same way that a wife might. So anyway, that's something to kind of see as the background, and to be aware of those assumptions, because I think that assumptions have to be spoken, and the more you have unspoken assumptions and the more they are kind of right at the core of what the marriage relationship looks like. So for instance, she may be going into the marriage thinking, well, Christmas Day is with my parents because that's how I've always done it. And when I was growing up, we always went to my grandparents. You know, that was just part of the air she breathed. And she doesn't even bring it up. It doesn't come up in premarital or whatever. They never talk about it because they haven't crossed that bridge. Meanwhile, he's thinking, we're a new household. We're on our own, so to speak. Yes, we still want to see our family. We still love them. But on Christmas Day, I'd actually like it to be just us. And that's his unspoken assumption. And that can obviously, you can see where that would be grounds for conflict, because they haven't really hashed it out, or they didn't discuss it in detail, or they didn't really think through, how are we going to do holidays? Which holidays is just, that's a big one for relationships with in-laws. Because as you might expect, in-laws want to be a part of their kids' lives still, understandable and good. But sometimes they will put the pressure on, hey, because everybody else in the family is going to be meeting for this holiday, you better be there. And that's just kind of like that pressure is an unhealthy thing, especially when that is a brand new couple. They're just learning each other's language, basically. They're learning how to understand one another. They're learning how to communicate well. And they're just trying to like build a foundation on Christ for their new marriage. And that can be a point of conflict, and it can be a place where trouble happens. We can talk in a bit about how to navigate that well, I think, in a wiser way. But that's just kind of to say there's some things to be thinking about when it comes to relationships with the in-laws.
Yeah, for sure. You know, you can see how that that minefield can be a real area of concern because, you know, I think the natural approach or the natural attitude for most of us humans is the path of least resistance, right? So you try and navigate that in a way that won't cause tension, won't hurt feelings, you know, that kind of thing. And probably, and you can tell me if I'm wrong about this, Jason, but I imagine, you know, at the very beginning of marriage, you probably have to be a lot more hard, draw those lines, you know, in a harder way, so that then you don't have to later. So you have, you know, healthier relationships where there's that recognition, like, for the family, okay, this is still our, you know, daughter, this is still our son, this is still our brother, sister, whatever, but they are also their own family unit. And I think you gave the theological expression of that really well, you know, and there's even the beautiful aspect of the gospel wrapped up in that, you know, this idea of Jesus himself, who's, you know, called the groom of the church, right? The bride is the followers of Jesus. And like John 14, right? Jesus goes to prepare a place for you, which is that same illustration, right? The husband's role is to come and prepare and take and build. And that's the same thing the Lord Jesus himself does. So there's even that theological purpose in the beautiful picture of, okay, this isn't just, you know, God's good design, but this good design also illustrates the gospel itself, to some degree, which is pretty cool. And yet that picture can be so broken by well-meaning, we'll say well-meaning, you know, in-laws or parents that want us step into that in those older ways, right? In terms of a mom and dad, no doubt have massive influence in the life of their daughter. And then once she's married, the idea is they move into more of that advisory role. However, there's still the emotion there, right? Which is, oh, I want to protect my baby, instead of like, no, my job now is to speak the good, wise counsel of the Lord into a situation, you know, in the same way that when a husband comes to you complaining about his wife, part of your role as a brother in the Lord is to get him to recognize all the good, right? Yes, there are challenges. Yes, there are difficulties, but the conversation can't end with just me like, oh yeah, you know, your wife is horrible. It's no. This is a blessing of the Lord given in your life, according to Proverbs, right? Proverbs 19, for example, or 18 as well, you know, that a wife is a blessing from the Lord, and it's quite an honor there. So that, you know, so how do you go about establishing that to say, okay, my job as a husband is to help build this new home, this new household, and I want to do it in a way that glorifies the Lord, obviously, but I also want to do it in a way that still honors my mother and father-in-law and all those relationships.
Yeah, well, and just for starters, I'll talk about those who are already married in a sec, but if you are not yet married, and maybe you're engaged, maybe you're not, maybe you're just in a relationship, but you're thinking towards marriage, hopefully if you're in a dating relationship that's at least on your mind as a goal at some point, possibly, then I would strongly encourage premarital counseling. There's so much value that comes from talking through all these issues that you're not going to necessarily think of, but, you know, a pastor or a marriage counselor, premarital counselor, is going to be able to help walk you through some of these things. It's just like what you could think about, like, how are we going to handle the budget? How are we going to, what do household chores look like? Do we have any expectations there that need to be talked about? Do we have any expectations about how many kids we're going to be having and how we're going to school them? How we're going to discipline them? All those things the tension from those sensitive issues comes later in a big way if you haven't yet talked about them. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to completely address everything possible and it's going to be smooth sailing, but I strongly encourage that that will help lay the groundwork for that. So if you're already married, well, we'll talk about that. So obviously, as a man, you know, a big thing would be to step up and lead the way in having some of these needed conversations. And I would begin here. So, again, going back to Genesis 2:24, it says, leaving your father and mother, holding fast to your wife, becoming one flesh. And that is covenantal language. So now that you are in this new marriage relationship, you are in a covenant as one. And so that means that you need to approach these sensitive issues in as a united front. And for the wife's part, I would say, you know, the big thing, if she's having some of these conversations with her mom, it might be the case that, you know, people joke about, like you said, meddling mother-in-laws. And I love my mother-in-law, so this is kind of a very general way of speaking about it. But mother-in-laws often want to get more involved in these kinds of things than father-in-laws, for whatever reason. And a lot of times it's because, you know, they really care about their kids. They love them. They want to see them. If there's grandkids involved, of course, they want to see the grandkids. And the biggest thing you want to do is not just cold turkey cut off in-laws. You know, you don't want to do that. And I've heard about these trends these days about like one-third of adults cutting off their parents, which is, you know, obviously there's a whole range of reasons that could happen, but on the whole, that's not a great thing. That's not a great stat. You don't want to cut your parents off just because you get married. But your primary relationship, now that you're in a covenant of marriage, needs to be your husband, or in your husband's case, your wife. You have to see that as that's the main focus. And by the way, when you have kids, it's the same deal. You need to be on the same page. You need to be approaching your children in the way you teach them and discipline them from a united front. You can't allow your kids to pit one of you against the other. That's just a recipe for disaster when it comes to parenting, when kids can manipulate and sort of figure out which parent is going to give them the answer they want. And it's the same with in-laws. Obviously, those conversations look different, but you need to talk about ahead of time, okay, when your parent or my parent is going to ask for us to be at these events, let's just do this. Let's have a statement where we say, we're going to talk about that, and we will get back to you. We're going to talk about that. It's really simple. You don't have to give a response right away, but you're telling them, we're going to get back to you. We're not ignoring you. It's not that we don't want to be with you guys, but we have to figure out what's best for our family first. And you can even honestly say it like that, like, hey, now that we're married, dad and mom, you know, I love seeing you guys, and we will do our best to be at events and see you guys where we can. But my first responsibility is to be there for my wife and lead our new household and make decisions that are best for us. That doesn't mean we don't want to see you, though. When you hear us say that, that doesn't mean, you know, when we say something like we can't make it to that event, that does not mean we don't care about being at these events with you guys. But we have to do what's best for our family. I think saying something like that, it's really simple. Parents might struggle with that, especially early on. I do know that, and I've talked to a lot of dads who have, you know, their daughters have been married off, and it's often the dads of the bride that have a really hard time at the wedding, because here you are, you've been her head as she's been your daughter. You've been protecting, providing, caring for her. She's your little girl, your princess, and suddenly you're handing her off to another man, and that is like a knife to the heart for dads that have a good relationship with their daughters, obviously, and that's just that can be really tough. But that's why you show her, before you hand her off to be married, you show her as a dad what to look for in a man, and hopefully she's going to recognize, okay, I need to find someone who's like dad. And then that's going to make that a lot I'll just say it's going to be a lot easier on your emotions if you know what kind of man she's marrying. But I will say that then it's, you know, after the wedding and when it comes to like family planning events and things like that, just you know, when the mom asks, hey, we'd like to have this event, can you please be there? Everybody else is making sure they're going to be there. You before you give a firm answer, you talk about it. If it's a really, obviously be praying together. If it's a really important family event, like it's something that's not going to happen very often, do what you can to try to make it work, but talk about it first, because you need to not be feeling like you're strong-arming one another into these things. And you know, it's interesting, these in-laws relationships, there's this whole like tug-of-war that goes on in the heart with like loyalty, control, expectations, all these things. And it's best just to talk it out and say, here's where I'm coming from. This is why I think we should go. And hear from your spouse. If your spouse totally disagrees and it's like, no, we need to have this family time, then listen and honor her request before your mom or your dad, however it might be. You have to be thinking of what is best for your family first. And you know, I would just say with the an encouragement also is, you know, in the marriage relationship, Ephesians 5 says to love and cherish your wife and for the wife to respect her husband. Well, for the wife, it's not respectful to always be going to mom to talk about your new husband's issues that you are struggling with. I would encourage, you know, always wanting to take the side of your husband and same thing for your those husbands, in front of your family or in front of your parents, make it clear that you are on the side of your spouse. Make sure they hear it loud and clear that you're not going to be used to be a whatever it might be, just a sounding board for complaints about your spouse. Like don't ever get yourself in that position where you become the person who is okay with others in your family complaining about your spouse. That's not where you want to be. You want to respect your husband if you're the wife. You want to love and cherish your wife if you're the husband. And that takes work. And so be okay with a little bit of struggle early on in the marriage to get to these points where you can agree. Don't expect this to be something that's just one and done, because as you grow together and you learn you know, what events are really important to your spouse and how do you accommodate that? There's going to be some push and pull. There's going to be some back and forth. But as you approach your parents or the in-laws with your decision, do it as a united front. Don't do the, well, I really want to, but she says no. Or, you know, he says I can't go to this thing, even though I do want to be there with you, mom and dad. No, that is not a healthy way to approach it at all. And chances are there's going to be just more conflict coming from in-laws as you do that.
Totally. And it seems like the husband has a role to play in helping his wife not do those things as well. Like, say, put yourself in the position of the husband and the father. In this particular case, you know, part of that role, like it is with your kids, you know, like your wife's job is to nurture the kids and to protect them and to take care of them. And it's sometimes the husband's job to hold the wife back and say, you know, they need to struggle a little bit and that's okay. Or they need to fail a little bit and that's okay. Same thing, it seems like, would be true as well in the context, you know, to say to your wife, hey, you need to not put this kind of pressure on our daughter or son-in-law, you know, or whatever. It's like, yes, we make the invitation, we make clear we would love to have them, you know, whatever, but then we're just drop into the position of being blessed if they come, and if they don't, we're okay as well. You know, we're going to be grateful either way. And not, you know, so it seems like there's a role for the husband to play in that that side of things as well, at least in a healthy context, and to be able to step into that. What would you say is a good way to address the situation where a husband and wife are not on the same page? Let's say, you know, the wife wants to just do whatever her mom wants. And sometimes that's okay, obviously. Other times that's not good for the family or the marriage or whatever. And yet they can't come to the same position, or they can't see eye to eye on that particular issue, whether that be out of guilt or obligation or, you know, whatever the situation. How does a husband help his wife navigate that situation?
Yeah, and I think it's a tough thing, because a lot of times there will be accidentally hurt feelings in these processes, because, you know, again, if the parents are expecting you to be there and they're going to be crushed if you can't come to an event, you know, you don't intend to hurt their feelings. And I think that's where the loyalty side comes in, you know. And again, I've seen it more, at least from the wife's side, where she is really going to want to be loyal and, you know, be at these events. And more often it is the husband who's like, no, I don't think we need to go to that. And I would say, you know, obviously just make accommodations for each other, not for the in-laws. So like if you're, let's just say you're the husband and you're like, I really don't want to go. I really don't think we should go, in fact, to this event. Maybe it's not just a preference thing. Like you're not really wild about the big family gathering, but maybe it's like you're like, no, we need like some actually quality family time. Like I'm finally getting some time off work. We need to like build up our relationship, whatever it might be. I would say, tell your wife, look, if we're going to go to this event, then let's not have it be a long, let's not stay like maybe as long as everybody else. You know, you can work out accommodations where you're meeting each other where you're at. You're understanding how badly she wants to go. And so you could say, you know, let's not go for the whole time, or how about this? You could say something like, let's do Thanksgiving with your parents and Christmas with my parents, or something along those lines. Like, I think I'm just using that example because that's what Whitney and I have done, is the rotation back and forth of, and it's not always perfectly done, but we try to see each other's needs and desires, and you know, that's a pretty fair compromise. Like, and then you rotate it, so it's like the opposite the next year, that kind of thing. So work out a plan in advance. That's a big thing. Take it to the Lord. I will say, if there's like, if there are ill feelings on the part of in-laws towards the husband, and this can happen for a number of reasons. It's not even that he's like committed this great sin, and that's why they're kind of not real big fans of him. It could be like he's just, like they clash for different reasons, or, you know, he's in a line of work that, you know, the father-in-law doesn't respect, or who knows. There's so many things that it could be. I would say you just have to remind each other going into these conversations with the in-laws that you don't want to have any shred of doubt that even if we're not on the same page between us about what we want to do, when we're talking with in-laws, we are always going to take the side of the spouse. We're always going to be putting and making that so clear, because I think that a lot of times unintentionally there's going to be like laying on some guilt. You know, how come you weren't at this event? And oh, is it because your husband said that? Or oh, your wife didn't want to come to this event again? You know, and you just want to be so clear in those moments to say, look, mom and dad, I love you, but that really is not, it's not an appropriate thing for you to always be complaining about my spouse. This is my spouse. I love her, or, you know, the wife's case, I love him, and I'm not going to speak badly about him. You're not going to get me to do that. You know, we're working towards unity on these things, but we're not going to be pitted against each other. And so I'd say like having those clear conversations with in-laws and drawing those boundaries. And if anything, like maybe making the boundaries bolder than you need to, when you feel like there's you're getting pushback, just to kind of make it clear, like this is not something we're going to talk about, or this is not a conversation we're going to have. And, you know, hopefully in time, you know, those walls will come down. There will be, you know, again, there are so many stories where there's a bad start to the marriage, or there's a bad start to the relationship between in-laws and the husband, or in-laws and the wife. And because there was great effort on their part to show, you know, we love you guys and we do want to be in your lives, but also being firm. You know, you can be loving but also firm. This is an event we can't make, or this is something we're not going to be talking about. And honestly, like sometimes it's politics when it comes to like conversations where there's rifts in the family. It's because somebody, you know, Uncle George keeps bringing up politics, and that kind of sets the whole ball rolling. And then, and you know, not that politics is by nature a bad subject, but I would just say I've heard quite a few cases where the riff happened because of those kind of conversations. And so just try to just be on the same page with going into it. Hey, you know what? We love being with you guys, but we really don't feel like this is productive to talk about this. Let's do something fun together. You know, something along those lines. But never letting it be a me versus her, or you know, him versus me kind of conversation, because you want to show that your unity is number one. You want nothing to come between you and your spouse, nothing. And so in-laws sometimes with the best of intentions can be causing a wedge unintentionally. I want to emphasize that a lot of times it's not intentional, but it does happen because of those overbearing assumptions and expectations of what's going to happen in the relationship. And you got to be clear with them for the sake of loving them. You're going to love them best if you're clear with them. You don't want to end up resenting your parents or your in-laws. You want that to be a healthy relationship, and so you got to draw those boundaries clearly.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Faith Unpacked podcast. We're so thankful for your time. We hope and pray that these encourage your faith and walk with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to hear past episodes, you can find them on our website at faithunpacked.com. We'd also invite you to subscribe on your favorite podcasting site. If you have any questions, feel free to hit us up on social media, or you can send us an email at faithunpacked@gmail.com. And we invite you back next time as we continue to unpack our faith together.